Hey out there. Welcome to The Undercurrent. I'm Tara Sloan. It's been a minute. I'm a couple weeks late on this one. Life gets in the way sometimes, but have no fear. We'll have regularly scheduled episodes still to come to round out the season. So lots more great guests coming up. I hope everybody is enjoying some amazing playoff hockey. I hope everybody is enjoying amazing weather wherever you may be. Today's guest is a powerhouse on and off the ice. She's been called one of the toughest defenders in women's hockey, but behind the slapshot is a heart full of purpose. I am so very fond of this woman. Megan Bozek-Ferguson is a two-time Olympic silver medalist, a four-time world champion, a back-to-back college champion, and the list goes on. Now she's navigating a brand new chapter in her career as a broadcaster and a coach and as a mom. Megan joins me to talk about a career that's taken her around the world, the sisterhood of the game, and what it means to step away from the spotlight to embrace something even bigger, motherhood. I hope you enjoy. So Megan, you and I first met officially in San Jose. It was a couple of years ago during the Women of Teal festivities. You had retired not that long before that, but you were already really busy coaching, doing some broadcasting with the Vegas Golden Knights at that point. Things have really ramped up for you, I think, on both fronts. So just catch me up. Catch me up on the last couple of years.
I feel like I'm still catching up with my life, but I retired right after the Olympics in 2022. I just knew it was my time to move on. We wanted to start a family. And now I feel like I'm at the rink more than when I was playing. So wow. I'm busier than ever, but it's been a really nice transition. I was able to work with the Vegas Golden Knights, and I still do as a desk analyst, which has been absolutely incredible. They have such a great group there. And then I was able to join TSN for Women's World Championships under 18s and rivalry series. And then most recently on Cutter for the PWHL. So many things going on, but it's awesome. I love that I can still work inside the game that I played and loved and dedicated my whole entire life to, but just now on the other side. So hockey brought me so much, and it's really fun to share my knowledge and experience with everyone else now.
Well, what's it been like? I mean, let's talk about broadcasting first. What to you is fun and rewarding about that experience?
I get to watch hockey. I get to watch and talk about the best players in the world for the men's side and the best female players in the world. And it's incredible to see where the growth of the game has gone on both fronts. I think, but in specifics on the women's side, just I dreamt to play in a league like this. And I know that ship has sailed, but to be a small part of it and knowing that I was a part of creating something for the next generation, it's really special. But I love that I can sit there and analyze the game and put my thoughts into it, because it's everyone's thoughts that we're able to talk about, but giving a little bit of a different perspective is always fun.
I think, I mean, the league had literally just launched when you and I spoke a couple of years ago. So here we are, record-setting numbers. The Toronto Scepters, who you're working for, had to move into a bigger venue. And now it's going to be an eight-team league. So, I mean, we're watching this grow really quickly in real time.
Really quickly is exactly how I would put it. And would I have thought that they would expand not one, but two teams this season? No. I think where the league is at right now is perfect, but there's growing demand for it, and you have to meet those demands. So now seeing Vancouver and Seattle, we saw the takeover tour games there, and the crowds were incredible, absolutely electric. And I think they'll really buy into having a female hockey team there.
Oh, I think so too. And what about, you know, working with people on the ice as a coach?
Yeah, I kind of took a little step back from being on the ice. We had a little guy in December of 2023, so that also forced me to stay off the ice. But I help out in the town of Oakville. I'm the director of player and coach development there. So being able to just talk to these young girls that now start at the age of 8 to make their first rep team. So it's starting very young, but it's awesome to see where their journey starts, where they want to go, who they want to become. More times than not, you'll be like, who's your hockey hero? Marie-Philippe Poulin, Kendall Coyne Schofield, Hillary Knight, Sarah Nurse, Natalie Spooner, which for me growing up, I was like, oh, I love watching Mike Modano.
Right.
And that was all, like, I wasn't able to watch that. But being on the ice, like I said, just being able to share my knowledge, what I learned, what I thought helped me grow as a player, but more importantly as a person, because you learn a lot of life lessons through sport. So making sure that you're creating a safe, fun environment for everyone.
I love hearing that their favorite players are all PWHL players. And you played with boys, right? For, I don't know, when did you actually start playing with other girls? How old were you?
Yeah, so grade 8 was my first year of girls. So from when I started until grade 8, I was playing with the boys. I would get dressed in bathrooms in the hallway, and that's just how it was. And I didn't make a fuss about it, because if I wanted to compete with these players, I had to do what I had to do. So it's just the way that it was. And Kendall Coyne Schofield, we both grew up in Chicago, so she was playing on the team younger than me and still playing with the boys when we moved to the girls' side. So Blake Bolden, we used to play against her in Cleveland. So a lot of the girls had to play with the boys, but I also learned a different part of the game with the physicality. I was able to have body checking for a year. So that was really helpful for my game. I took a lot of penalties once I switched to the girls' side, but figuring all that out was, I think, a learning curve. But I also have two older brothers.
Right.
So I was used to getting beat up at home.
Right. Was defense just a natural position for you?
I think so. I was always trying to defend myself.
Yeah.
And tell my parents that was not me putting the holes in the wall. That was the boys and all of that. But I started out as a goalie, actually.
Oh,
so
wow.
I was on my first team when I was 6, and my parents told me that everyone went in the locker room. The coach was like, okay, we don't have a goalie for the season. Like, is anyone interested? And I shot my hand up, apparently. And my parents were like, no, 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 put your hand down. But I played goalie for a season. It didn't last long. I was too focused. I was waving at everyone in the stands when the pucks were just going right through. So actually, when I switched to player, I went to as a defenseman and never I was a defender my whole career.
It's funny. Parents never want their kids to be goalies.
No,
it's just
no.
Like the most thankless position. So brutal.
I can't imagine the stress, like the added stress that they would have had, because now watching and going through the tryout process in the town of Oakville, like it's a lot. It's a lot. So thankfully my parents handled it well, and I was young enough to just be like, okay, well, I guess other parents can't really get mad that I've let 15 goals in every game, but I think they were very relieved that I switched.
I'm sure. I'm wondering about you now being a relatively new parent. Is that, I mean, I think parenting changes your perspective on everything, right? Like, you do see the world differently. But what's been most notable for you? Like, how does it change your perspective on your life and career?
Yeah, I've tried not to let it change my career too much. And that's all in thanks to my husband. Like, if I didn't have this support system at home, there's no way I could travel to Las Vegas, if I could travel to cities to work. So it's in part due to having a great support system at home. So I really try to keep my career on balance, I guess, as much as I could. But my perspective is totally different. And my parents never forced me to play any sport or do anything I didn't want to do. If I was ready to be done, finish out the season, be done with it. So I think just not the added pressure. My son is also 16 months old, and the amount of times that I get asked, like, is he on skates yet? I'm like, absolutely not. He's barely like wearing gym shoes at this point, but it's so fun. Like, I hope he takes to hockey, but if he doesn't love it, he carries a golf club around at the house all day. So maybe we'll have a warm weather sport that we can travel to.
There you go. I want to ask about some other things that have sort of changed maybe in the last couple of years since you and I spoke last. We saw Jessica Campbell become the first full-time woman coaching behind an NHL bench. Is that a game changer?
Yeah, I think it is. And you'll see more women behind or in the front office, excuse me, of NHL clubs. So I think times are shifting, times are changing, but for Jessica Campbell to make that jump and fit in is absolutely incredible. And I was actually able to catch up with her when Seattle was playing in Vegas, and I was working that game. So just talking to her before the game, and she's relied upon to talk about a lot with special teams. And you can see that because they were successful in that area. And I'm sure with movement in Seattle now, and now Seattle having a PWHL team, a lot of people are like, all right, we have Jess Campbell ready to go. But it's a really, really powerful position to be in. And I don't think she takes that for granted one bit, but you can also see the amount of media she's gotten in regards to her position, but sharing it with everyone and talking to the girls after the game and exchanging those friendship bracelets during the games and stuff. She's really embracing it, but you can tell that this is just the beginning. She's been the first one, but she most certainly will not be the last.
No, we spoke too when Seattle was in San Jose, and it was really inspiring. I mean, we talked a lot about hockey, you know, we talked a lot about her job, and you're right. She is very relied upon and I think very trusted with the players, and has, I think, just a different relationship. And maybe even a little more nurturing, which I think is like probably a really interesting perspective for these players.
Yeah. And you have to think all of these players came from different coaches.
Yeah.
So their junior coach to their college coach to their professional coach, they've all had different coaches. So trying to get a sound balance in some capacity, I think, is really important. And I have a feeling you'll see more of it because players will gravitate towards that. And if they're not fans of that, there are other coaches on the staff, but I haven't heard a negative thing about Jess Campbell being on that bench. And I think that speaks measures because you can go down a social media rabbit hole and find whatever you may want to, unfortunately. But the feedback that I've read and from players that I've actually spoken to have been very, very positive.
And I love, I mean, you know, that's for a young girl or boy watching, you know, that's an aspirational point. But then you can also look at, you know, Corey Cheverie with the Montreal Victoire. Like, that's, you know, it's just the universe is opening up, you know, in the world of hockey. And I just, I love it. I want to talk a little bit about your amazing career. You've really, I mean, you've played on the biggest stages. Is there any moment that stands out for you? Two Olympics, two college championships, like National Women's League championships, like, I mean, you've won everything.
I get asked this question a lot, like, what's your favorite moment? And it's hard to pick because every team you're on is different. So you have those special memories of each season. So starting with college, we were back-to-back national champions at the University of Minnesota, but my senior season, we actually went undefeated. Yes. And we won the Frozen Four at home. Oof. At a sold-out Ritter Arena. People were scalping tickets. And this was 2013. So when our bus drove in, we were like, people literally have signs saying we will buy tickets. And we had never seen that before. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is something else. And then I made my first Olympic team. And I think one of the moments that really sticks out to me, and losing at the Olympics, you still obviously are earning a silver medal, but it's a medal you get for losing. So it's a really tough pill to swallow at that moment. But we get to the Olympics. It's chaotic. It's busy. You're trying to focus. And the nerves before game one for me were unlike anything I've ever felt. I wasn't a nervous player, but there was just something about, it's the Olympics.
Yeah.
Is it any different than a world championships? No, you're still playing the same teams, but there's just something different about it. And I'm in the tunnel about to run out, and right across, I see my mom, my dad, and both my brothers. And I was like, all right, I've made it. Like, that's all I needed to see, because I wouldn't have been there without them. So one of my favorite moments, I would have to say, is that. But I've just been lucky, and I've been really, really fortunate to be on some great teams with on-ice memories, yes, but lifelong friendships that I'll cherish forever. And that's the hardest part about retiring is, yes, I miss the game and I wish I could be playing in this league, but I miss my friends. I miss the socializing on those bus trips that no one wants to be on, before and after games, playing like spike ball and just cherishing those moments. That's really, really what I miss most.
I bet. That pressure that you felt at the Olympics. I mean, did you have nerves? Like, are you a nervous person, or was that like just an onset due to being on literally the biggest world stage?
Yeah, like I wasn't fighting for my spot. Like I had made that team. In other camps or tournaments, it's different because you always have eyes on you. There's always something next.
Yeah.
But for this, like I had made the team, I was comfortable, but then you put on that jersey for the first time and you are just, you're overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed with everything. And it's a jersey that you put on before, but now you see the Olympic rings and this is what you trained for. And back then, I'm aging myself.
It's not really that long
it,
ago.
Just... it really isn't that long ago, but we trained for 4 years. For 60 minutes. So we dedicated 4 years, if not more, maybe give or take less, for 60 minutes because we were wanted to play in that gold medal game. So to put that into perspective, it's a lot. So you're trying to do everything you can, but now that you're inching closer and closer to that, you just get a wave of emotion that I don't think I've felt since. And then the second, so I was the last cut in 2018 for the Olympics, and 5 days before Christmas, heartbreaking. You train with these girls all year, and I was okay. I was obviously devastated, but I really walked away from that saying I did everything I could. I had nothing that like I questioned myself on, so I was really proud of myself, and I took that, and I gave myself some grace to be like, I put my best foot forward, and then they go and win a gold medal. And I was proud. And watching that game, I was proud because I helped them get there. And I knew that. So I didn't have any regrets to that, but I just knew I wasn't done playing. And I made every team from the next tryout that September to the 2022 Olympic team. And the Olympics were obviously COVID still. So it was a whole different environment, whole different feeling. But it was actually nice because it was so intimate. So you didn't have to worry about your families there,
right?
Like trying to see them with the 20 minutes of free time that you have. And we were able to go to other sporting events very easily. So it was just a different feeling, which was nice in its own way. So I'm lucky that I have two to compare them to.
Yeah, no kidding. Having, the opportunity to watch so much hockey now, is there a player or players that you are really admiring at the moment? I mean, they're so good. I mean,
there's so many. At the moment right now, I mean, what Marie-Philippe Poulin has done, that will be unmatched, untouched forever. That won't ever be a conversation. But I think watching U.S. Canada women's hockey has to be one of the biggest rivals in all of sport. And I went to the U.S. Canada Four Nations game in Montreal and the three fights that broke out. And that's what we felt every single time we played Canada. But now watching a lot of the Canadians and a lot of the Americans work together to form this league, it's a different bond. But now it puts some added intensity onto this rivalry. So Marie-Philippe Poulin is absolutely incredible. One of my favorite teammates, Casey Bellamy, who retired right before the 2022 Olympics, she was such a good player. Brianna Decker was one of the hardest players to play against. But there's a lot of people stepping into different roles now, which is nice because you see who they're playing with in the PWHL and then going on to the international stage. But it's crazy. Like, I watch these games in awe to be like, I could never make a play like that. I could never, like, where the game was when I retired 3 years ago to where it is now, I'm very comfortable sitting on my couch watching these games.
But that's what it, I mean, the game should evolve, right? Obviously we see it in the NHL and we see it in the PWHL, and it's just, that's how it's supposed to be, right?
It well, absolutely. And if you see that it's digressing, that's when you have to look to see what we're doing to help grow the game. But now with a lot of other European players coming over to declare for the draft and play in the PWHL, it's a growing movement, but it's a worldwide movement. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's starting in US and Canada, but it's worldwide. I played in China, I played in Russia, and even the fans in China and the little boys and girls that wanted to play because they watched us. It's a growing sport that I'm afraid to see it in 10 years, because I feel like now living in Canada, every Tim Hortons is going to be taken over by a hockey arena. I like they won't be able to keep up, or practices will be at 5 a.m. or right. 11 p.m. for youth. So I think it's a good problem to have, and you can just see how much passion and love and growth is behind it on the men's side and the women's side.
Well, for sure. And ice time, you know, as you know, growing up and has always been an issue for girls especially. So there are definitely, you know, the Future of Hockey Lab and various bodies like that are really looking at ice time. So hopefully that just means some more rinks will show up in all of our neighborhoods. I know we probably talked about this a couple of years ago. You know, you have worn letters on your jersey. You take your role model mantle seriously. What does being a leader look like for you in women's hockey culture?
I think every leader is different, and that's what makes it special. And there's so much stress on if you wear a C, if you wear an A, you're here, everyone else is here. And that's the farthest from true. And I learned that by having players ask me questions when I didn't wear a letter. So and I kind of knew what to expect when I was a captain my senior year at Minnesota. And I took a lot of pride in that, because the coaches had trust and faith in me. The room had that in myself. But then I was also asking other people questions. So you're kind of a middle person between staff, players, but we play a team sport for a reason. And I think that's the fun part, because if it was just me, myself, and I could be my own leader and do whatever I want. But you have to do what's best for the team. And you look at, I think a great example is Kendall Coyne Schofield. Has a child, comes back, is now not wearing a letter for the United States. But does that matter for her? No, because people still look at her as a leader on and off the ice. So I think it's important, and it's fun to see that leaders are all different. More leaders on the ice, some will be leaders on the bench, some will be leaders for organizing off ice activities. It's all different, but everyone has to have a say, because if you don't, that's when you'll just see teams divide and split. And trust me, I've been on a team or two like that, and you don't want that. You have to cancel that really quick before it gets bad, because then it wears off. Like, and any of us, when we go to our job, we take something with us that happened at home, wherever it may be. Then you're just thinking about that, but then it ruins your in moment.
Right.
And I think about the question you actually just asked me of, like, how does being a parent change your career and your outlook and stuff? Like, that's one thing, is when I'm with my son, I don't care about anything else. Like, I'm there to be with him. Everything else can wait. Like, I'll never get this time back. But now I take that into my career as well, to say, I'm here, I'm focused, anything else. And I wish I knew a little bit more about that in college and professional and playing with the national team, because it's so easy to get wrapped up in everything else, unfortunately. But it's an honor to wear a letter, because you wear that jersey with pride, but having that added responsibility, it truly is something to never take for granted.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand. I think with with perspective and obviously parenting and then age, just, yeah, you're gonna learn stuff along the way that you're like, oh man, I could have used this 15 years ago, but
right.
So be it, you know it now, you know, and if parenting helps you stay in the moment and you're the rest of your life too, that's a great thing. I'm going to leave you with this for you and your generation. What is the legacy that you hope to leave for the next generation of women in hockey?
I think I'm living it right now, because did I think I would be working in hockey 5 years ago? No, I had no idea what I wanted to do after I was done playing. But now that I've been able to work in the PWHL, I've been able to work in the NHL. Follow what your passion is, because doors are opening every single day. And we touched on Jessica Campbell, but Cami Granato, Emily Castingday, Megan Duggan with the Devils. This list is growing and growing, and opportunities are endless. So it had to start with someone's dream, and now it's becoming the younger generation's reality that not everyone can make a national team. Not everyone can make an Olympic team, but now if they have dreams to play in the PWHL or they have dreams to play in university, they have young girls and women to look up to. So I feel like I'm living what I want to leave with people, because I've never enjoyed something more than what I'm able to do now.
Oh, that's so great. Also, just before, I got to give a shout out to Lindsay Pennell, by the way, with the NHL Coaches Association, and really, you know, making sure that up and coming coaches get a chance to get experience from coaches at all levels. So
yeah, she's been instrumental in a lot of our growth in our career, and offering sessions every month. And I was actually able to go to the rookie development camp for the New York Rangers on behalf of the NHLCA. So Lindsay's been absolutely incredible.
Well, I think you're so great. It's like, you're so wonderful. So I can't wait to catch up with you again in person, now that we live kind of in the same neck of the woods.
Yeah, we'll meet outside of the city though.
Yeah, no kidding. Traffic in Toronto is bad. Megan, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
I want to thank Megan for that lovely, lovely conversation. It's just a joy, just an absolute joy to speak with her. So Megan, thank you. Thank you for taking time out of your very, very busy day, both hockey-wise and parenting-wise. Thank you all for listening. Like I said, there will be many more episodes to come to round out this season of The Undercurrent. So keep on staying tuned, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks with another one. In the meantime, keep your sticks on the ice and your fins above water.